Hallelujah. You may have your seats for a moment. Hallelujah. Great to be back with all of you. Can you believe it? Today is part three. What was supposed to be a single message, the Lord has just kept us on this particular topic of the last 3 weeks. But you know what? If you're only joining us today, you are not going to miss out. Romans chapter 4 is our main scripture again for today. Romans 4 from verse 16 to verse 25. Romans chapter 4. It says, therefore, the promise comes by faith. The first week we delved into this particular statement. So again, I ask you, how does the promise of God come to your life? How does it come? By faith. Thank you for that one person. How does the promise of God come to your life? By faith. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. Three things are required as essential ingredients to call it true biblical faith. And number one is knowledge. You need to know that it is written. You need to know that it is written. When the devil came to Jesus, even twisting scripture, Jesus responded every time saying, it is written. You have to know that it is written. You have to have the knowledge of the word of God. Can you say amen? That's number one. Number two is agreement. Once you have the knowledge, once you read it, the question then comes, will you believe it? It's one thing to have knowledge, but do you believe it? Come on, someone. Do you believe that God is who He says He is? Because that is what is required. Number one, knowledge. But then number two, agreement. You agree with that which God has said. In other words, you believe that God is who He says He is. That you also take God at His word and you agree that you are who God says you are. That you can have what God says you can have. That you can do what God says you can do. If His word says it, I believe it, and that settles it in Jesus' name. If you are with me and you believe it as well, let your amen and shout be the loudest in Jesus' name. Then number three is trust. Trust. You see, Simon Peter, sitting in the boat along with the other disciples, saw Jesus walking on the water. There was no denying that there was someone walking on the water. Then he says, Jesus, if it is you, tell me to come and I will go. Then Jesus said, come. Now the question was whether or not he was gonna trust the word. And then he takes that step of faith, gets out of the safety of the natural boat. And the moment he climbs over, the moment his foot goes over the edge of the boat, he steps out of the natural and steps through the divide, dividing the natural and the supernatural. And he finds himself as he plants his foot down that he is now not only walking on water, but he is walking in the supernatural power of God. But it came as a result of knowledge, of agreement, and then number three, his trust that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he now can do exactly that which Jesus promised he would do. Oh, someone give a shout of praise. Hallelujah. But you see, there are too many people, too many Christians, I should rather say, who have no problem with that first particular ingredient. Hey, I have knowledge. Great, whoop-de-doo, you have knowledge of the word. But this is why your life is falling apart. This is why your marriage is falling apart. This is why your family is scattered. This is why you are poor. I have knowledge, but you are not even in agreement with it. In fact, there are many Christians, well, I don't really believe in prosperity. Wow. And this is why you will never be able to step into that which you despise. You will never have that which you despise or that which you frown upon. Why would the Lord want to release His blessing upon you if you do not even believe that He is able to bless? Then you might as well believe in some monkey god who is not alive, who can't breathe, who is simply there. That is something that you would expect from something that's dead, a dead idol. My God is the God who serves, who gives, who loves, and bestows His favor upon those who walk in obedience and who are willing to do that which He's called us to do. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it might be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. So what did he do? He did not waver. He did not doubt regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Again, I say to you, there's two things you need to do. From the time that you receive the promise of God to the time that it is fulfilled and you can see the manifestation of the promise, two things you need to do. Then those things that you do is the same things that Abraham did. Number one, do not doubt. You cannot stagger, you cannot waver regarding the promise of God. Number two is you give glory to God. That means you praise Him. In other words, I'm suggesting to you that what needs to happen is you need to praise God the moment the promise comes, knowing that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he promised it? Will he not make it happen? Knowing that God's word, when it goes forth, it will always produce. So in other words, because you are a man or a woman of faith, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith, because then you live by faith, when the promise is spoken, you already know that God is the one who calls into being those things that are not as though it is. In other words, because now you look at the promise through the eyes of faith, you do not have to physically see it, taste it, smell it, or be able to experience it with the five senses, because it is already as real to you as it can be by faith. So what do? You praise Him like He has just done it for you. The moment the Lord gives you a promise, you praise Him. You praise Him like there is no tomorrow. You praise Him like there is no going back, because you know that God has said it and God is a way maker. Oh, and He is a promise keeper. If God has made you a promise and today you say, I believe it. Come on right there where you are. Give a shout of praise and appropriate it. Snatch it. Take it and say, it is mine. As sure as God is alive, this shall come to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Do not be surprised that even now in this season, that the Christians will be the ones who will prosper amidst the chaos in this world. Talking about retrenchment, talking about the third wave and a this wave and a that wave. We navigate all of the waters because we are secure, firm, firmly rooted on the rock who is Jesus. We do not get intimidated by the waves, by the wind. We're going to get into that this morning, but we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Verse 21, how I love this. Being fully persuaded. That should be the default state of every Christian. When someone wakes you up, 2 o'clock in the morning, how are you? I'm fully persuaded that God is who He says He is. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do just as He has promised. In other words, when you do not believe, or let me put it this way, if you are not fully persuaded, you are basically saying that God, you do not have the power to do as you have promised. That's actually what it is. Being fully persuaded, however, that God had power to do what He had promised. And this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him and raise Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Just quickly a recap of the first two particular points. Number one was faith commands. In verse 17, it says God calls into being things that were not. He calls into being those things that are not as though they are, and they come into existence. It is made manifest. And the Greek word kaleo speaks of this. It speaks of a summoning. God is the one who sends a summons, which is in the natural today, it's regarded as a letter. It's a document that reads that you are hereby summoned to appear. And there's no defying that decree. Number two is that faith wholeheartedly agrees. Verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. The words "according to" in Greek speaks to wholeheartedly agree. Wholeheartedly agree. Agreement, as I said a little bit earlier, is that second ingredient when it comes to true biblical faith. Agreeing that which God has said is the truth. Agreement is a response on something that has already been shared, that's already been said, that's already been given to us. So when God speaks, we cannot but come into agreement. And as I highlighted last week, that agreement also reveals the relationship that we have with God as our Father. It's a covenant relationship. In the time of Abraham, this would have meant that one party would say to another that what is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. That your enemies now have become my enemies. That is what is referred to by covenant. It's an agreement. It's a bond. It's a coming together of two parties. And the only thing that could call it dissolve a covenant was death. It was till death do us part. There are some married couples, you need to hear this today. It was until death do us part. It was not something you simply said in the heat of the moment. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But then only 7 months later or 7 years later, you now find that you no longer can say, I do. It's I don't. It is covenant. It is holy. The marriage between a natural man and a natural woman. Yes, I said it. Marriage, which is instituted by God, the way God sees marriage is between a natural man and a natural woman. Why? Because the book of Ephesians says very clearly that the relationship between a husband and a wife resembles the relationship between Christ and His church. Which is why it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid down His life for her. That is the way, men, husbands, the way that you are supposed to love your wife. The way you are supposed to love your wife is to be able to value her so much that you would be willing, at the drop of a hat, be willing to lay down your life for hers. That is what God's word says. He said, I don't believe it. Well, get into the word. Get into the word. Number three. is faith is focused. Faith is focused. Verse 19 says, he refused to look at circumstances. He refused to look at the external circumstances. He refused to let his natural senses talk louder than the word of God. I'm sure that he would have been surrounded by people who would have heard about the promise. Oh, here comes Abraham, the father of many nations. Oh, where's your child? Big man. Come on, he would have been surrounded by naysayers. Don't tell me there were no naysayers so many thousands of years ago, but today they are rampant. There's even skeptical people watching right now, just looking for something to say, approaching services like this with a notebook. Yes, I'm talking to you. He refused to look at external circumstances. Verse 20, he staggered not. He wavered not. He refused to be double-minded. Oh, I love that. For James 1 verse 6 says in the Amplified Classic, only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering. That is the way we speak to God. That is the way we pray. Only it must be in faith. In other words, make sure that your prayers are not wailing. Make sure that when you pray, it is faith-filled prayers. Am I speaking to someone here today? Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering. No hesitation. This is why people sometimes get upset. Well, Pastor Kevin, when you pray, how come I just hear you decree and declare? How many times do I say this and I say that and I say this and I thank the Lord for that which I do not yet see and I believe it and I speak it as though it is. Why? Because it's doing it by faith. I speak things according to God's word. I'm not speaking things that are outside of the word of God. In fact, if I would, I would be able to attribute every statement to a verse that I can find. In other words, God backs me up when I speak, when I pray, and I call those things that are not as though they were. Why? Because God's word says it. Therefore, I know that it is God's will and it is my portion for my life in Jesus' name. For the one who wavers, who hesitates, who doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. Then listen to this, verse 7 to 8. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So in other words, if you do not pray faith-filled prayers, nothing is going to happen. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In all of his ways. So ladies, if you want to find a husband, find someone who is fully persuaded, who has a single focus for his life and his future. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I've told you now. So in other words, ladies, when you come and introduce Prince Charming to me, and I find him to be not only a double-minded man, but a no-minded man, I will say it to you, and I will say it to him. And do not expect me to marry you knowing what I know. Hallelujah. I've just saved you a lifetime worth of heartache and pain. Choose right. Choose life. As a side note, ladies, look for someone who serves the Lord with a passion. Have someone who has a job. And when he has a job, that he can keep a job. In other words, what I'm saying to you ladies is do not marry a lazy man. God told Abraham, Adam in the garden, to till the soil, tend to the garden, work. And it was only after he was busy working faithfully that he received his Eve. So work. And while you work, work hard. Do it with all your might as unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you will put your hand to something in obedience, it shall prosper. The Bible says that whatsoever you put your hand to will produce. Whatsoever you put your hand to shall prosper. The Lord is not going to prosper you by sitting on your couch watching television. You can't spend more on entertainment in your household than anything else. You've got your priorities mixed up. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're very straight this morning. I'm focused. Because faith is focused. Kenneth Copeland once said that focus is the bridge that vision travels on. I cannot tell you how many people I've seen where they have a particular focus and then they allow the enemy or many other external influences to come in and sway them into a different direction. The reason why we can even share again with you today the vision and the dreams of this ministry and see that we're standing right there in the middle of it is because of a single focus. Focus is the bridge that vision travels on. In Proverbs 4 verse 25 in the Amplified Classic, it says, "Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose and let your gaze be straight before you." Again, ladies, if you bring me this Prince Charming that you want me to meet and he cannot even look me in the eye, there's something wrong. This is why you can tell something about someone in the first 5 seconds of spending time with him. In other words, I want to be able to look into someone's eyes and see the purpose. I want to see a true conviction of I know who I am. It speaks of identity. Number two, someone who walks in the divine purpose that God has for them. And then number three, because they know who they are and because they are walking in God's divine assignment for them, they are walking with purpose. They are heading towards their divine destiny. Then Mark 5, verse 35 and 36 in the Amplified Classic. It says that while he was still speaking, there came some from the ruler's house. This is speaking of Jesus and Jairus, who said now to Jairus that your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further? Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Oh, how I love this. Jesus heard it. It's not as though he did not hear it or as though he did not want to hear it from the perspective of, hey, just don't tell me that. He heard it, but he ignored it. He ignored it from the perspective of that the word will speak louder than the circumstances. The word will speak louder than the word or the report that has just come to him. Overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep believing." I believe that in that chaos that ensued, imagine that. They were on their way to go and heal Jairus' daughter who was only 12 years old. They were walking purposefully towards Jairus' home when they were interrupted with this woman with the issue of blood. You remember that story. So in all of that commotion, someone has just gotten healed, but now the report comes, someone has just died. Why trouble the master further, they said. Just let him be. Your daughter has died. You can almost imagine Jairus looking around because he's just gotten this news. He's trying to make sense of it. He's trying to come to grips with the fact, Jesus, you are the Messiah. Jesus, you are the healer. You are the master. You were on your way. Like, should I still bother you? Should I not? Can you still come? Should I? What do I do? And then in that moment of confusion, where he's looking around and he's trying to find a solution, trying to find an answer, it's like I can see Jesus just taking even his face, just looking into his eyes and say, remain intently focused on me. Do not be afraid. Just believe. Some of you, you need to hear this because you might have received news. News pertaining to your finances that will be a potential devastating blow. Or it could have been news about your physical body. Or news about your son or your daughter, your wife, your husband. Do not be afraid. Just believe. Faith is focused for this one thing I know. That he is who he says he is. And that he will do. That he has the power to do. Just as he has promised.